Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are continuing our previous shiur on the topic of natural law. Again, based on an article by the great Rabbi Gleichschlita. There are some medieval authorities that invoke a natural law proposition substantiating the duty to obey the revealed law. Rather than resorting to a natural law duty directly obligating man to obey the will of Hashem, as the Rav Sadja Gaon, we saw in the previous year, they posit a much broader obligation in the form of a social contract theory. The fullest discussion of that thesis is presented by Rav Yitzchak ben Sheshes in the Tshuvas HaRivosh, 399. The Rivosh was questioned with regard to the authority of a community to promulgate ordinances and regulations. And the source of that authority, the Rivosh, doesn't adduce any biblical verse from which such authority might be inferred, but nevertheless declares that communal authority to issue ordinances is biblical in nature. The Rivosh declares simply that any society, geographical or in the form of a commonality of interest, such as an artisan's guild, may promulgate ordinances governing the members of that society. Moreover, such authority includes license to punish violation of communally directed ordinances by imposing sanctions upon those who don't keep the laws. Such ordinances, declares the Rivosh, are binding upon future progeny, as well as upon strangers who establish residence within a particular society. And I quote, "For it is as if they explicitly accepted the ordinances of the city at the time of their arrival." That formulation resonates with the notion of the social contract set forth by Hobbes in his Leviathan. Hobbes maintains that such contracts are binding solely because of the natural law principle, and I quote, this is from part 1, chapter 15, that men perform their covenants made. More striking is that the Rivosh cites the Ramban in his Mishpat HaChevem. The Ramban declares that not only are communal ordinances designed to promote the welfare of society, binding by virtue of the social contract, but that the social contract serves also as an authority for the binding nature of the obligations to read the Megillah on Purim and of observance of the communal fast days, obligations that are generally assumed to be based upon rabbinic legislative authority rather than upon some form of vox populi. You can see the Mishpat HaCherem, which is the Yosef Inger edition from Lakewood, which was put out only a number of years ago on page 105. Most striking is the Ramban's statement that, and I quote, "such is the rule with regard to acceptance by the populace that is incumbent upon their progeny, as we find with regard to acceptance of the Torah." Apparently recognizing that a presumption, the effect that dogmatically revealed laws are to be deemed self-validating and binding solely upon the basis of divine command, would invoke circular reasoning. Ramban assumes that there must be an antecedent a priori principle that mandates acceptance of the binding nature of revelation. But instead of positing an a priori duty to obey the will of Hashem, the Ramban predicates the binding nature of the revealed corpus of law upon acceptance of those laws by the populace as normative and binding, an acceptance in the nature of a reciprocally binding contract, adherence to which is based upon a premise of natural law. Recognition of natural law obligation to perform covenants made, like Hobbes said, is explicitly formulated by 19th century authority as well. The publishers of the Vilna edition of the Talmud apparently relied upon advanced subscriptions to assure that funds required for the cost of reprinting that set of volumes would be available. The volumes were reprinted one by one. The subscription price for the entire set was 6 rubles. It seems that a competing edition became available at a lower price. Reb Moshe Levi Horowitz, the then chief rabbi of Minsk, his parish is in the back of the Gemara, wrote a letter published in the prefatory material included in the 5622 printing of Bava Basra, in which he alleged that many principles of commercial law and jurisprudence are valid simply upon the basis of reason alone. He Included among them, he contends, is the obligation to honor a contractual promise. Hence, according to Horowitz, the obligation to pay the agreed price upon the reprinting of the various volumes of the Gemara was fully binding simply because of the subscriber's undertaking, fulfillment of which is mandated by reason. Most surprising is Rabbi Horowitz's view regarding the binding nature of Dina de Machusa Dina. Medieval authorities struggled to explain why secular civil law should be binding upon Jewish nationals and propounded multiple theories in an endeavor to provide the basis in Jewish law for even a circumscribed obligation to obey the law of the land. In a brief cryptic comment, expressed almost as an aside, Horowitz advances the novel view that such an obligation is predicated solely upon the dictate of reason. Since he doesn't relate that view to a social contract theory, Horowitz leaves the impression that it is the notion of obedience to law per se that constitutes the a priori duty. Awareness of the various expressions of a limited natural law position expressed by multiple rabbinic scholars renders the discovery that at least two comparatively recent scholars regarded false oaths to be prescribed on the basis of reason alone to be less surprising. It is precisely that view that's formulated by Meir Simcha Cohen of Tvinz, the Meshech Chochma, Parshas Yisro, Dibor Maschil, V'Tochin, Od, and the Avni Nezer in Yerudea, Chelik Beis, Simen Shin Vav, Osios, Tez Vav and Tez Zayin and Yud Zayin. The Meshech Chochma categorizes the prohibition against false oath as a mitzvah sichlis, a rational commandment requiring no further justification. As such, punishment for violation of the prohibition requires no biblical source. Rather, says the Meshech Chochma, for Hashem will not hold guiltless he who takes his name in vain, from Shmos 27, includes even a Noachide who is not commanded. Whoever takes his name in vain, Hashem will not hold guiltless, even though they are not punished by the hands of man. Both authorities explain that the prohibition was binding even before Sinai. By virtue of its a priori nature, and hence is equally binding upon Jew and Gentile alike. According to Meshech Chochma, punishment for violation of the prohibition by a Noachide is punishable only at the hands of heaven, because the act is not formally interdicted by the Noachide code. Thus the phrase, Hashem will not hold guiltless, is understood by Meshech Chochma as a declaration that punishment for the transgression is reserved to Hashem. The Avnei Nezer was fully cognizant of the problem of why the commandments of the Torah should be regarded as self-validating, in the absence of any prior undertaking to accept such obligations. Avnei Nezer regards those commandments as binding and enforceable solely on the basis of the accompanying oath sworn by the recipients of revelation, Mushba V'Omer. What is the basis for regarding an oath as binding, if not the divine command recorded in the Torah? Avnei Nezer answers that the fulfillment of an oath is mandated by reason and is not contingent upon a revealed commandment. But if a false oath is to be abjured on the basis of a natural law principle alone, why was such a prohibition included in the revealed corpus of law? In resolving that question, the Avnei Nezer places an interesting limitation upon the type of oath enforceable solely by the virtue of natural law. Reason mandates that interpersonal oaths and oaths between man and Hashem be truthful, because other persons, or Hashem, have an interest in their fulfillment. But oaths pertaining only to oneself, to eat or not to eat a particular food, there's no a priori reason why such an oath must be truthful. Similarly, such an oath is unrelated to a person's relationship with Hashem. There's no a priori reason to assume that Hashem is concerned with the veracity of the oath or lack of the lack thereof. Consequently, a dogmatic commandment is required to establish that even such oaths must be truthful. In effect, the commandment makes it known to us that Hashem is concerned even with the truthfulness of oaths, whose sole effect is upon the oath taker. Both the Meshech Chochmah and the Avnei Nezer part company from other natural law theories in one important regard. Classical natural law theorists not only recognize the binding nature of natural law propositions, but also accept the notion that reason recognizes that transgressors of natural law principles ought to be punished by human courts. Thus, natural law legislates not only the prescription, but also the punishment for violation. And the Meshech Chochmah and the Avnei Nezer recognize the binding nature of the natural law proposition prohibiting limited forms of false oaths, but not the legislative power of human reason to authorize man to penalize violation of prescriptions that are based solely upon reason. Consequently, both authorities assert that, absent a biblical mandate, transgressions of that nature are not subject to punishment by terrestrial tribunals. Rather, punishment of such infractions is reserved to heaven alone. The Avnei Nezer posits an interesting halachic ramification of that thesis. The halachic prohibition is couched in the phrase, if a person shall enunciate, ki yafli, and the person making an oath is admonished, lo yachil dvoro, he shouldn't profane his word. Oaths require vocalization. The Avnei Nezer maintains that the act of writing the text of an oath is not halachically equivalent to an oral expression. The distinction between speaking and writing is a technical halachic construct. Reason certainly doesn't distinguish between written and oral truths. Consequently, Avnei Nezer concludes that violation of a written oath is punishable only at the hands of heaven. Famous tshuva of Rabbi Kiva Eiger and Siman Lamed. He says that written oaths are of no validity at all. For non-Jews who are bound to be truthful in swearing an oath only by virtue of natural law rather than by an explicit admonition contained in the Noahide Code, there is no such distinction. Violation of both oral and written oaths by Noahides is punishable only at the hands of heaven. The most expansive recognition of natural law principles is also the oldest. The 11th century authority of Nissen Gaon in a short essay publishes an introduction to the first volume of the Gemara and declares all mitzvos, contingent upon svara, an understanding of the intellect, are incumbent upon everyone from the day that God created Adam on earth. Rav Nissen Gaon recognizes a dichotomy between rational commandments and dogmatic commandments. In doing so, he's merely following the earlier cited distinction formulated by Rav Saji Gaon, as we saw in the previous year. However, Rav Nissen goes beyond Rav Saji in asserting that all rational commandments are binding upon Adam, and hence on all mankind by virtue of reason alone. So Rav Nissen Gaon must certainly be categorized as a natural law theorist. As I mentioned at the beginning of the previous year, I would like very much to expand more upon this topic, because it's fascinating. So please stay tuned, and hopefully we will be zoche to study more and understand more. And it's Hashem, use our seichel as in addition to revelation to serve Hashem as well. Shalom, shalom, and thank you so much for listening.